Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
I'm your host, Tom Wilmer. Join me in Ann Arbor, Michigan, for a fascinating conversation with Russ Collins as he talks about the city's passion for the historic circa 1927 Grand Michigan Theater in the heart of downtown. When the theater opened on the heels of the silent era, the Michigan was replete with a symphony pit and a grand Wurlitzer-style organ. It's still there and fully restored, and the local symphony still performs there as well. In the heyday, the Michigan played host to budding vaudeville performers such as Jack Benny and Bing Crosby. In the 1970s, the Michigan came close to facing the wrecking ball, but visionary locals saved and restored the elegant gem. In addition to serving as the executive director of the Michigan Theater, Collins also oversees operations at the neighboring 1940s-era State Theater just down the street. He's also the founder of the revered Cinetopia International Film Festival held every June in Ann Arbor. Collins is also the conference director for the annual Arthouse Convergence Conference held in Utah in partnership with the Sundance Institute's Arthouse Project.
My name is Russ Collins, and I'm the executive director of the Michigan Theater, and we actually run a couple of historic theaters in Ann Arbor, Michigan, the Michigan and the State Theater. One is a 1920s movie palace, one is a 1940s cinema-style theater, but we also run a film festival in the Detroit Ann Arbor area. Detroit is actually very close to Ann Arbor, or Ann Arbor is close to Detroit, about 40 miles away, but Ann Arbor really orbits in the southeastern Michigan-Detroit metropolitan area. College towns support things like repertory cinema programs. Our theater is also the home of the local symphony and lots of other performing arts events by touring ensembles.
So your film festival has been successful and is growing. It's a regional film festival, right?
That's right. The Cinetopia International Film Festival was started 4 years ago, and it was intended to be a Detroit-centric festival. Detroit has a very interesting cinema history. Back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, Detroit was second only to Hollywood in the amount of celluloid film that was shot and processed, and that's because of all the industrial films, the advertising work that was done for the automobile industries. Literally, the film industry and the West Coast and the automobile industry in Detroit grew up on exactly the same timeline. They were invented in the very late 1800s and really developed in the first part of the 20th century. So it's a really interesting heritage to tie together cinema, which we think of as a major cultural change that happened in the 20th century, and automobiles, which was also a huge cultural change that happened in the early part of the 20th century.
Very fascinating. And I want to dovetail back to the Michigan as a theater, as a movie house from the late 20s that almost died, and it's been revived. Tell us about the restoration. That's a great story.
The Michigan Theater is a 1920s movie palace, and there were a lot of movie palaces that were built. In the Detroit area, there was the Fox Theater and Orchestra Hall and the Detroit Opera House, a whole bunch of really wonderful theaters.
Right on that cusp of the Soundies, right? Just before, so you had the Wurlitzers.
That's right.
And the one you have, it's a...
We have a Barton organ.
Yes.
Yeah, they had the big Wurlitzer organs and orchestra pits and the Radio City Music Hall Rockettes and all of those things. All of the movie theaters in the late 1920s had those kind of acts that were associated with them, vaudeville acts and local orchestras. So yeah, the Michigan Theater had an orchestra that was there, vaudeville acts. Jack Benny and Bing Crosby both played the Michigan Theater as vaudeville performers
before.
they made it big on radio and then in the movies.
A lot of these movie houses were also theaters that had the full stage.
That's right. And a lot of the Broadway theaters that were built in New York were built in that 1920s time period. In the Michigan Theater, the scale of it is of a Broadway theater size. You know, it's got 1,700 seats, and Broadway theaters are between 1,000 and 2,000 seats. It really has that kind of feel, that kind of elegant feel that you think of as a big city theater. We do movies there, and we do rock and roll shows, and we do the local symphony, all kinds of local, regional, and national events there. But cinema is a big part of what we do. We have a special screen, a special theater that's just for cinema. We do cinema in the big theater, and then we also do cinema in this 1940s cinema-style theater that we took over this year. So we have four screens that are dedicated to specialty film. And we've also actually built a bit of a national reputation as a specialty cinema and run a conference in association with the Sundance Film Festival for North American art houses. So once a year we gather all of our colleague theaters in Utah, right next to where the Sundance Film Festival takes place in Park City, and have a conference where we get together and we talk about successes and failures that we have. We run classes for each other and share in a very productive way. And that's put us in a really interesting position in the industry to be both a local theater that people go to locally, but having contacts nationally and internationally that really have increased the quality of what we do and the passion with which we pursue it.
It's a fascinating point in history where you're at right now with the explosion of digital media, of computers, of Netflix, all that stuff. And you think, well, how can a walk-in theater survive anymore? And yet they're still thriving, aren't they? And they're growing in the art house venue.
Yes, art houses actually are growing. There's two lies that are so pervasively told about movie theaters that everyone believes them to be true, even though they're not. And those two lies are, one, there's going to be a piece of technology that puts movie theaters out of business, maybe not next year, but within the next 10 years. And two, that you make all your money at the concession stand. Neither one of those things are true.
And interesting.
And the reason that I say that is there was a huge collapse of going out to movie theaters that happened between 1948 and 1964.
48?
In 1948, because that's when televisions first started to make their appearance, and then they very aggressively became part of the American home in the 1950s, which is why 48 to 64. By 64, televisions had pretty much everyone who was going to have a television had one by 1964, which I'm speaking only in terms of market trends. But since 1964, the movie attendance has increased on average for over the last 50 years. And so the movie market, going to a movie at a movie theater, is a stable market segment. Now, there was a period of time that it did look like it was going away, but that was 50 years ago. And if you can imagine them talking about automobile trends that were relevant 50 years ago and still talking about them, you'd consider them crazy. But that's exactly what people do with the movie industry.
And why do you think that disconnect can continue?
Well, because I do believe that it was a very traumatic thing that happened. When people talk about stuff, there does tend to be kind of an echo chamber. And technology is constantly evolving. And so you would think that online and Netflix and various kind of video technologies that you can do at home would erode the movie-going audience to theaters. But actually, all it does at this point is redistribute the television audience. And so the part of the market that's really suffering right now is broadcast networks. So the movie audience going out to a movie theater, it's not about whether you can watch a movie at home. You can watch a movie at home, but you've been able to do that, you know, since 1948, actually. Movies are about the quality of the big screen experience, but it's mostly about going out. People like to go out. Now, not everybody does, but there's a certain part of the market that likes to go out to restaurants, that likes to go out to plays, that likes to go out to concerts, and likes to go out to movies. And that part of the market is pretty stable, which is why there's been this market stability for the last 50 years.
For further information about your world and your film festival, where would a listener go?
If you want more information about the Michigan Theater, the State Theater, theater and the cinema programming that we do there or the other programming, you can go to Mich Theater, M-I-C-H, the four-letter abbreviation for Michigan, theater spelled the American way, T-H-E-A-T-E-R.org, mischtheater.org. The Cinetopia Film Festival, which actually happens in early June, we have a website for that, cinetopiafestival.org.
Russell Collins, it's been a pleasure to visit with you and to meet you.
Well, it's a great pleasure to meet you, and thank you so much for your passion and interest and for spreading the word about so many great places around our country and world.
Thanks again.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort Maui at Wailea invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
The Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative was recently awarded the prestigious Phoenix Award by the Society of American Travel Writers. HLRI was one of four recipients of the prestigious award that recognizes international organizations actively involved in conservation, preservation, beautification, and anti-pollution campaigns that further the growth and appeal of travel destinations.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show, Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a weekly featured podcast on NPR.org, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. Our San Francisco-based associate producer is Molly Blaisdell, covering the San Francisco Bay Area, the island of Maui, and the South Pacific. Our Wisconsin-based associate producer is Julie Henning,